Well, as the days of unleavened bread draw to a close for another year, we have all undoubtedly taken some time to consider the ancient Israelites passing from slavery to freedom and the parallel to our lives today. The command to de-leaven our property has been followed, and we have all probably realized that it is a daunting task to remove all of the leavening from our physical lives, just as it is a daunting task to remove sin from our lives and keep it out. So we've maintained this de-leavened state to the best of our abilities for the entire week. And it's been a very different week than we were used to. Leavening is all around us, isn't it? It surrounds us. We're literally seeing it at every turn. It's in the stores where we shop. It's in advertising that we see pasted on billboards, giant donuts pasted on billboards on the side of the road. It's everywhere. This week I was pondering what it must have been like for the ancient Israelites to pack up their unleavened bread and everything else that they had to pack up and leave physical slavery for freedom. You know, we can't, in this country at least, even imagine what slavery would be like. I mean, we can read books and we can hear accounts from various parts of the world, but we really cannot imagine what that would be like. And it was, in fact, slavery. If you turn to Exodus in chapter 5, Exodus chapter 5 and verse 3, it's quite clear. Starting in verse 3, they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." So the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, "Why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor." Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many, and you make them rest from their labor." So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and the officers, saying, "You shall no longer give people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." So as a form of punishment, he in fact increased their workload without diminishing what was expected of them as far as quantity was concerned. It was slavery in the truest sense of the word. The people of Israel were slaves to the Pharaoh. They were guarded closely, and they did not make a move without the Egyptian soldiers knowing. Well, we too are slaves, constantly being watched by the God of this world and constantly requiring the blood of Jesus Christ to make intercession for us. Sin is at every turn. It too is plastered up on billboards and in almost everything else that we see in this world that surrounds us. We are constantly bombarded with it. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting in verse 34. I'm sure it's a verse that we know well. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. If we're ever unclear of what slavery is, we could always read back in Exodus. Slavery dictates, your every move is dictated. You don't have free choice. Well, we do, as far as sin is concerned, but the God of this world is constantly watching us, just waiting to pounce on us when we're unguarded. And for the spring holiday season, we are commanded to think about our calling and our commitment to God. And as we de-leavened our homes, we realized just how far-reaching sin is in our lives and how much effort is required to remove it. It's impossible to remove it all at this time. Just as the Israelites could not escape Egypt by themselves, we cannot leave the bondage of sin without the help of the loving God of Israel. When you read the story of the Exodus, you notice that the Israelites left Egypt by the hand of God. It wasn't under their own power, although they did walk. But it was God who led them from the land of Egypt. Let's turn back now to Exodus chapter 12 for a moment. Exodus chapter 12, in verse 51. It came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, according to their armies. So there we have the deliverance of these people from this state of captivity, slavery. So after the Israelites left Egypt, they were perfect, right? Everything was just hunky-dory after that. Just like it was for us after we were baptized, right? The story doesn't end with the crossing of the Red Sea, does it? Just like our story, God took Israel out of the land of Egypt, but that did not mean that Egypt was out of the people of Israel, did it? If you're looking for a title for my sermonette today, it is The Egypt in Israel. As we continue on our journey to our promised future, we too will constantly battle the God of this world. And it will not end today at sunset. God called us out of the world, and he commands us to come out from it and to be separate. But he does not remove the world from us without a significant amount of effort on our part. It is a lifelong battle, and it's all day, and it's every day. Not just this week, but every week that we struggle with sin. The Israelites were out of Egypt, but they were still very much influenced by the culture that had become part of them. The rest of the story makes that quite clear. They continually drifted away from God, and in fact, to this very day, Israel is drifting and resisting from God. That is why we still need these days. We need this annual reminder. We too would drift away from God if we were not close to him and continually reminded of his plan. God easily delivered Israel out of Egypt. He could have done it instantly. Certainly could have done it a lot faster, but he didn't. He did it his way, and the timing was perfect. God has called us into his family, and we are struggling with sin every day, and we will continue to struggle with sin. That is what builds righteous character. And with the Israelites, just as with the Israelites, God is right before us every step of the way. Let's turn to Exodus Chapter 6. These verses are the prelude to the Exodus. As we read these verses about the Exodus from Egypt that was about to take place, let's consider the Exodus from sin that we face today. So as we read this passage, when we read the reference to Egypt, consider the meaning if the word Egypt was replaced with the word sin. And it was talking about the Church of God today. Exodus chapter 6, starting in verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of this land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, as God Almighty, but by my name Lord I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." Verse 6. "Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." Verse 7, "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into a land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." God knows where his people are, and he remembers the promises that he has made. And his people will continue to be delivered from this bondage of sin.